We were waiting for the senator from Wasilla, but we'll just go ahead and get going here. I appreciate it. Well, the Transportation Committee will come to order. We have with us Senator Huggins, Senator Thomas, Senator Egan, and myself, Senator Kukesh. And the purpose of the meeting today is to hear from the Commissioner Designee of the Department of Transportation Public Facilities, Mr. Mark Lucan. And I'd like to ask him to come forward to take a seat at the front of the committee room and introduce yourself and for the record. And go ahead and give us your information. And we'd like to also inform you that the job of this committee, in accordance with AS 39.05.80, is to review your recommendation from the governor for the position of the Department of Transportation. And our job is to forward this to further confirmation in a further session or not confirm. And so we would like to hear from you today. If we introduce yourself for the record, please.
For the record, Mark Lucan, Department of Transportation and Public Facilities. Mr. Chairman and committee members, thank you for this opportunity to speak to you today about our department and also to provide you a bit of information, a bit more information about me personally. Let me first say that I believe I've been preparing for this job for the last 30 years or more, beginning with my time at the Air Force Academy through my 29-year career as an Air Force officer. I spent my professional life as a public servant, offering my life in the defense of our great nation. I've also benefited from some of the best leadership and technical training available anywhere. I spent the first 18 years of my career as a pilot, primarily flying aircraft in Europe and Southwest Asia. The last 12 years of my career have also included opportunities to lead large organizations and to implement and practice the leadership lessons I've learned throughout my career. I was given the opportunity to lead support organizations that complemented the flying operations I was used to. At two of these assignments, I functioned very similar to a city mayor, in charge of civil engineering that involved both horizontal and vertical construction, communications involving base information technology, telephone and radio infrastructure, personnel, contracting and procurement, police and fire, supply and logistics services, and base service organizations. As a result, I oversaw large military construction and infrastructure projects at these bases and oversaw the contracting of these projects and the procurement of the commodities needed to run the base, very much like the roles and mission of the Department of Transportation. I moved my family to Alaska in the fall of 2008 from Hickam Air Force Base, Hawaii, to take over the job of the 11th Air Force Vice Commander. In this position, I oversaw the day-to-day operations of two fighter wings, 15 long-range radars, and two forward operating locations. I was also tasked with helping the 11th Air Force Commander get several military construction projects back on track that had either stalled or were struggling. Moving to Alaska from back-to-back assignments in near tropical regions, Florida and then Hawaii, was a bit of a shock for our family. But we quickly came to love the beauty, the grandeur, and majesty of this beautiful state. We were also simply amazed at how well Alaskans treat military. It was far beyond anything we'd ever experienced anywhere in the world. And finally, we recognized the awesome opportunities available here in Alaska, and we very quickly decided that this is where we wanted to stay. 2 months after our arrival, my wife Suzanne told me we needed to start looking for land. We were fortunate to purchase a beautiful home in South Anchorage just about a year ago. I began my tenure as commissioner by making some changes to our organizational leadership team. I did this for a couple of reasons. First, I saw a need for leaders to fill these top positions in the organization. I feel I have a great team who will help me move this organization forward in Pat Kemp, our deputy for roads. Pat brings 30 years of experience with the department. Steve Hatter, our deputy for aviation. Steve is an incredibly talented leader with a very similar background to mine. He's already doing outstanding work for the department in the aviation arena. Mike Neusel rounds out the top spots in the leadership team as the new deputy for the Marine Highway System. Mike also brings 30 years of Marine and leadership experience to the mix as a former Coast Guard captain, with 12 of those years stationed right here in Alaska. Finally, we have three very strong and experienced regional directors in Steve Titus up in the Northern Region, Rob Campbell in the Central Region, and Gary Davis right here in Southeast Region, and a very strong Marine Highway General Manager in Captain John Felby. Secondly, I felt that an injection of new blood would also benefit the department. I think this team has the right mix of leadership, state experience, and a fresh perspective to provide a strong and positive outlook on the future of our department. Many of you have already heard where I would like to take this department. I believe my first priority is to the organization. I believe we need to not only provide for the safe movement of people and goods, but to provide the safe and efficient movement of people and goods in the delivery of state services. We as an organization must become more efficient. To provide the best use of the resources the state and the nation provide us to deliver the safest transportation system possible. We must also become efficient with our most important resource, our people. We stand to lose up to 30% of our workforce in the next 5 years due primarily to the age of that workforce. Many are reaching retirement age in the next 5 years. Therefore, I desire to create an organization that people want to be a part of, one that encourages growth and recognizes and rewards collaboration and innovation. I will also strive to build an organization that is accountable to you, to our people, that promotes integrity, transparency, and outstanding service. One of my greatest encouragements as I've learned more about our department is the quality of our people who make up Department of Transportation and Public Facilities. We have an incredibly dedicated and professional workforce, and I'm privileged to serve them in this capacity. My goal is to give them the resources, the training, and the focus to be even better. One arena I've already begun to work is to increase our outreach to the public, the legislature, and our communities. My first day with the department was spent in Bethel. There I learned of the need for 24-hour service at the Bethel Airport, our third busiest airport in the state. I made that one of my top priorities for the FY12 budget, and I believe the governor has supported my desire to expand our service at this airport to 24 hours. And I believe the House may have just voted on that as well. I spent my second week in this job in Ketchikan. There I learned a great deal about the Marine Highway System, Alaska Ship and Dry Dock, and I was able to discuss the struggles that the borough had in operating their airport. Since that visit, we've been able to work on the airport issues and are moving forward toward a more positive relationship between the department and the borough. I recently visited Nome and was given a great tour of our facilities up there, including the state office building, and I have a better understanding of the issues. I plan to continue this personal outreach to our communities to hear and to see firsthand their issues and how they relate to our department. I'm also encouraging our regional directors to follow this example, and you'll see this department engaging you and the public more often. As an example, both Pat Kemp and Rob Campbell recently joined Representative Newman and Senator Huggins at a town hall meeting in the Matsu Borough to discuss Connect Goose Bay Road and their safety concerns there. I'm planning also to take my entire leadership team to Skagway after session. There are also several opportunities around the state this summer where I plan to visit specific communities in eastern Alaska, on the Kenai Peninsula, and on Bristol Bay, to name a few. We've also begun to provide more information on our website about projects we're currently working on. As I mentioned before, we're still roughly at an 80% solution with this reporting tool, but my desire was to get the information out. We'll continue to refine this product to make it more user-friendly and interactive, and we welcome your suggestions. Many have asked me, well, what are your priorities? I mentioned my desire to begin an organizational transformation of our department. I'm also following my boss's lead as he sets some great broad policy objectives that are easy for us to follow. Safe families. I've already stated our mission is to provide the safest transportation system possible, and I see this as the Department of Transportation's role in this objective. Jobs and economic opportunity. DOT put out about a half a billion dollars in projects last year, and our hope is to do the same again this year. A half a billion in projects, in my mind, equals job opportunities for Alaskans. Roads to Resources. DOT is already working diligently with DNR, DEC, CED, and law, and others to bring these roads from concept to reality. We're working on the environmental impact statement for the Umiat Road, and we're in the public scoping process for both the Ambler Mining District and the Western Alaska Access Project. We've also had discussions with DNR on rare earth element development opportunities right here in Southeast Alaska. Finally, let me comment on the question of the brevity of my time here in Alaska. Let me first reiterate, I've served Alaska for the last 29 years. The exciting thing for me is to know that I have the opportunity to serve this great state full-time with all my ability and strength. Our governor said Alaska is still the land of great opportunity and strategic importance, and I'm excited to be part of that team that will open up many of these opportunities for Alaskans for the next 50 years. Thank you. I'm available for questions.
Thank you very much for your presentation. We'll go ahead now to the committee and ask for questions. Senator Thomas.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman, and thank you for your presentation, so to speak. Anyhow, how would you describe your style of management?
Well, through the chair, Senator Thomas, I'll tell it to you this way, because this is, I guess, maybe I don't know if it's a Mark Lucan saying, but I think managers manage things, and leaders lead people, and so you know, I guess that would be my style, is that I try to really lead. And in leading, that means serving. And so, I'm, as I've tried to say in my testimony, I'm looking at how I can do that best for the people of our department, to provide them resources, training, advancement opportunities, so that I have a workforce that's excited to be there. And then I think that'll actually provide a department that's really going to be much more attuned to the needs of our state.
And follow-up, Senator Thomas.
Yeah, thank you, Mr. Chairman. With that thought in mind, you know, we have a great amount of opportunity in the state of Alaska, matched almost equally by a great amount of challenge to get those things done. And sometimes, even though it might have a relatively short tenure in the state legislature, I spent a lot of years working in and around construction, and it always bothered me the length of time that it took to get things done. And much of it seemed that it was based on process, but also on the lack of initiative or desire to get some things done. It was just like, we're going to be here whether these guys that are questioning what we're doing are going to be around or not. We're going to be here, and we're going to plod through this, and we're not going to try to be very or terribly innovative or anything like that. So I don't know if it's a question or more of a statement. I hope you will look at that, as, and I'm sure in the military you ran into some of that too. You know, people got to be a bureaucrat, and, you know, they were going to be there, and this commander comes and goes. He'll be gone in 2 years or whatever the rotation is that they're used to, so we don't worry about it too much. We'll just keep doing what we're doing. So hopefully you'll take a look at that and inspire folks to at least to attempt to move things forward as rapidly as is practical to do without rushing projects, obviously, as well. So.
Well, through the chair, Senator Thomas, I really appreciate that, and I will tell you a couple of things. First, we're going to really start looking at the federal process, and I just received a letter today from EPA Region 10 asking for our input on how we might at least comment on many of the regulations and things that tend to slow us down when it comes to the NEPA process. So, you know, it's exciting that they've heard from the president and they are actually engaging us. And I see that as one of those areas where we can really work to potentially speed projects from concept to delivery. But then your other point is very well taken, and that is that I'm a results-oriented kind of guy, and I believe that that's what I have in our leadership team as well. And so that will be part of this organizational transformation, is to look at our processes, find out where we can really improve the way we do business so that we are continually working to shorten that time from planning design to delivery.
Thank you.
Senator Menard.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman.
Oh, I want to recognize her for the record that she is here, the late great Senator Menard.
Commissioner Lucan, you mentioned in your last statement your intent is to move Alaska forward, and we just came from a little Kibata get-together here, and you know how important that is to Senator Huggins here from District H as well as myself. But I wanted to ask you, you know, we are viewing this as, and I don't mean for this to come off as a statement and a comment rather than a question, we're viewing it as a bridge to the interior, and it is basic infrastructure. And so could you just speak to that as your importance? And before you do that, I wanted one other thing, and then I won't have to ask for a follow-up. I just want to be very complimentary to Brenda Hewitt, because you have spoke to those safety corridors that we addressed earlier. And to just as early as today, I got the email that showed the lights and attachment on how you have to drive every, I think it was 6 miles. There's now signage and a notification that you have to be driving with your headlights on all the time. So that is a great movement, and a positive movement in that direction. So now if you would to speak to that wonderful Kibata project.
Through the chair, Senator Menard, what I would say is that in concept, I really recognize the potential benefit for that project. And it's exciting that we have a record of decision. It's also been defined as a national highway system asset once it's completed. And so, you know, the real challenge, as you know, is how we fund it. And I think that's really what we're looking forward to is to see how that process works out. It is an exciting project at the prospect of it.
You want to follow up? Yeah, go ahead.
I just can't help
you. Sure, no, help yourself.
I'm late.
And as you know, numbers and statistics and futuristic numbers are being everywhere from the Wilbur Smith Associates to the ICER. But truly, you know, if you go back in history for the state of Alaska, if you based everything on numbers and population, you never open up the state. You could make that argument with the Marine Highway, and it goes on and on. And so I just certainly put that out there because I feel so passionately that we're on the right track with this. And I just appreciate your comments. Thank you.
Thank you. Senator Huggins.
Yeah, thank you, Commissioner Lucan. I will be voting for you for confirmation. It is two-part reason for that. One is I try to support, unless there's some compelling reason, not to support the governor's nominee. But number two, because of what you represent, what you stated, and your presence before us and other people. But you got a tough job. You know, we've had some conversations about that. And, you know, part of your job is the restoration of confidence by some people sitting here, a whole bunch of people that live across Alaska. Question for you. First one, Mr. Chairman, is that I assume going in that most of the things that we do that are public kind of projects, whether it be an airport, which primarily is funded by FAA and maybe a supplemental monies, but most of those kind of things end up being subsidized over time just by the very nature of the beast, because if you just said, or run the numbers in Alaska, it's hard to build anything with 700,000 people, no matter where they live. And you can make a little better case around Anchorage, but if you went to Juneau, we'd never build anything. I mean, why build a road to Juneau, as an example? Well, you would never have built a boat or a ship or a ferry to go to Angoon because the numbers wouldn't support it. But help me, if you would, explain and empower some of us about how we articulate that, because our state couldn't afford anything. But if the good thing is you're unburdened by some of these sorts of things because, as you said, your brevity of being here. But that's a good thing in this case.
Through the chair, Senator Huggins, I think probably, and we just got through. I was just over at the Health Caucus and had a kind of a similar question. And I think probably the answer that I would give is one of the things that the American people have committed to is that all American people should have some equal access to goods and services, to health care, to reasonable cost of living, that type of thing. And so this is what our transportation system, one of the key things that our transportation system provides, and I believe our nation is committed to, is allowing us and allowing Alaskans to have maybe not on par and equal foot and an equal availability, but at least they have, we are able to provide them some ability to have access to health care, to goods and services through whether it's our airports, the Marine Highway system, and our obviously our road system. But you know, I think that really, and if you look at the it's the charter, if you will, for the national airport system, that is one of those pieces that's tantamount in that charter.
I was pleased to hear you mention the term safe in a couple of your descriptions about how you approach the job and the importance of it. And we've had conversations and on the whole business of highway safety corridors and the importance of that, and so we'll hold you to your safe part of it. But on the other hand, when we look, I'll just use Wasilla as an example. I've listened to our borough say we can't build the road wide enough in Wasilla because of wetlands and lakes and just the city would go away. When you're approaching the safety piece of it, you have a safety manager, but could you describe to us your concept of how you're going to approach with your safety manager, the operative interfacing with us and others so that we can be your ally in getting some things done? Because, I mean, I celebrate and I salute and I support your approach that safety is a major component, because if nothing else, we should try to do something safely.
Yeah, through the chair, Senator Huggins, absolutely. I mean, I think that is the, again, that's the key operative. It's the first operative word in our mission statement. And so as we approach projects, that's one of the key components, you know, in the design of that. When it's absolutely feasible. And I think that's the, you know, I guess a key component in this discussion is that, you know, many times the topography, as you mentioned, the makeup of the land that we're putting that on may sometimes limit our ability to be absolutely, you know, 100% safe in our engineering portion of the design of that. And so I guess that's why we are partnering with the Department of Public Service, why we actually fund the Bureau of Highway Patrol through our safety program, so that we have the other two parts, which are the enforcement piece and the education piece. And I think maybe that's where I know Commissioner Masters and I have already collaborated on a couple of opportunities to put that word out, and we will continue to do that in the future from the education side. But that is at the forefront of what we do. And as we consider how we bring projects forward.
Go ahead, Senator Miller.
Just a statement and an expectation. You know, we in Alaska, and you've probably witnessed a little bit of this, and you've heard that we just kind of repave the same road. We may start at the other end, but that's what we do. And we don't have much of an opportunity to see new roads. And so, you know, you and I have talked, and I think that our people is a rising expectation that we build a couple of new things that have some order of magnitude. I mean, the average Alaskan is excited about Susitna Dam because it was a pipe dream once upon a time, mm-hmm. and now the governor says we're going to do that, and we got the question of how do we make that work. But in the same token, we got people moving places and the demographics have changed, and how we can, quote, safely get those people to different places but do some infrastructure. So I guess my anticipation and what I'm looking for you action-wise is that we maintain what we have and we build a few new things of some order of magnitude. And that's just a statement, but I'm looking at you on that one.
Through the chair, Senator Huggins, I recognize my position in our state's history, and more importantly, I recognize our department's position at this point in our state's history, and I hope that we can be the first department in about 33 years to build something new.
Thank you, Mr. Chair.
Thank you, Senator Egan.
Great. Thank you very much, Mr. Chair. And Commissioner, good luck. I will also be supporting your confirmation, and I just appreciate your willingness to meet with legislators and especially directing your staff to go ahead and meet with legislators individually instead of having to go through another chain. And I really appreciate the direction of leadership to let other people perform their jobs. And along that token, you're an expert in air. But don't forget, in the state of Alaska's coastal communities, you have to be an expert in water as well. And I just urge you to, you know, follow the advice of your new Deputy Commissioner, Mr. Newsel, and also General Manager John Falvey, that are thoroughly intimate with the Alaska Marine Highway System. It's the coastal community's highway, just like Senator Huggins talked about, you know, repaving roads. That's about all we do. Well, we want to repave a ferry. We have $65 million that the governor proposed last year, the legislature approved, and actually we're hoping for another 65 so that Alaska-class ferry can be constructed at Ketchikan Shipyard, Alaska Ship and Dry Dock in Ketchikan. And I just urge you not to forget the people of coastal Alaska, and, you know, it's a different kind of highway, but it's our highway. And just one more question, Mr. Chair, if I can. The new roadless ruling, how is that going to affect DOT's construction of road projects, especially in southeast Alaska, because a lot of it affects the Tongass forest? Has the department looked into how this latest ruling that is bringing back into contention, you know, or reinstating the roadless rule?
Through the chair, Senator Egan, I had the exact same question when I read that article, and unfortunately, I haven't had the opportunity to ask my staff yet.
And I appreciate that,
but I will. I will certainly get back to you on that.
Great, thank you, and I know Senator Kukesh is concerned about that as well.
Absolutely,
thank you very much for the answer. Question, Senator Thomas.
Thank you, Mr. Chair.
Thank you, Senator Thomas.
Thank you for your answers to the questions. I'd like the direct answers anyhow. And in regards to several of the other departments of the state are very important to have a relationship with as far as going forward. Department of Natural Resources comes to mind, Community and Regional Affairs, Commerce, as far as, you know, the idea of roads to resources and what we do. And I know that there are meetings, you know, held somewhat irregularly, but I would hope that they would be more regular and people would have those conversations, because, like I said, my short tenure, I find it odd that there's not only duplications of things taking place within those different agencies and departments, but there are also lost opportunity by not communicating and working together to accomplish a particular project, not even aware in some cases that somebody else is even working on something similar to what they're doing. So hopefully you'll try to do what you can to increase that that cohesiveness and that camaraderie and that relationship between them and dealing with projects in particular, because that will be the big thing for you, but marketing the resources and the projects themselves, you know, for the state. So I don't know if you have a comment.
Through the chair, Senator Thomas, I absolutely do. First of all, we have been fairly aggressive from our department to get together with those other departments, Department of Natural Resources, Economic Development, and DEC. I've also worked with them quite a bit on various issues. But a couple of things I would say is that, number one, I believe we all of the commissioners have the same sight picture, that we do want to work together. As I've already hopefully communicated, duplication of effort is absolutely against my grain. And so, you know, we're definitely going to stay engaged with them so that we minimize, if that's happening, we minimize that as much as possible. But secondly, and I'll just give you one direct example of how we're doing this, and that is we've hired Mr. Al Clow to actually lead our efforts in the Roads to Resources. He's our Roads to Resources guy. He came from, he worked for the Department of Economic Development, or Economic, Department of Commerce, yes, for several years. And so, and he is a mining expert. You know, I believe we've got just a huge asset in him, and he's already got relationships with the other departments. He worked with DNR for years as well, as far as on the projects with them. So he's already got some established relationships, and I believe we're going to see great things come from that. So that's just one example where we're starting to move forward in that area.
Very good. Thank you.
Question, Senator Huggins.
Yeah, thank you, Mr. Chairman. The senator from Seward mentioned about building ships in Ketchikan, which I'm supportive of. But Mr. Commissioner, I would ask you to let's be consistent. I've read some headlines here recently about it's cheaper to house prisoners down south than it is in Alaska. And let's just make sure that when we're measuring where you can do it cheaper and most effective, it's all about jobs and building our economy. And we can always make the case that you can get a ship built cheaper in China or a sweater, but every time we do that, we shift things to China. And you can use the same analogy here. So I would just ask you, as we approach it, whatever the industrial complex we're appealing to and the challenge is, that we not just go to the lower 48 for a solution just because it, quote, might be cheaper, but probably more expensive in the long run.
Through the chair, Senator Huggins, what I'll do is I will say exactly what Captain Falvey said to a reporter from the Alaska Budget Review yesterday when commenting on the same issue. You know, and we actually met yesterday to discuss the procurement process for the Alaska Glass Ferry. We are going to ensure that it's competitive, but we are also going to ensure that we get the best product for the money that we will pay for it. But finally, we will also provide a procurement process that levels the playing field for any shipbuilder to compete for that project.
Do you want to follow up, Senator?
If I just comment-wise, that our borough has some experience with Ketchikan Shipyard, and they built probably the most sophisticated amphibious assault vehicle maybe in the world, and they did a good job at it, and we're proud of that experience. So we as Alaskans can do things. Now, if we measured somebody else being able to do it in more economical, we might come to conclusion it would have been built someplace else. But I'm proud that we as Alaskans said we're going to do it here in our state, and I'm supportive of that.
Through the chair, Senator Huggins, I've been on that boat, and it is really an impressive piece of machinery.
Thank you.
Senator Egan, then Senator Menard.
Actually, the senator from the Mighty Matsu sort of answered the comment that I had, but I wanted to reiterate again that the MV Susitna was not only built at Alaska Ship and Dry Dock, it was under budget and on time, and I think it's a real feather in the cap of Alaskan ship and dry dock, and the workers that were responsible for building that ferry. I mean, it is incredible. It's state of the art, and it's amazing that it was built here in Alaska.
Senator, did you want to comment?
Yes, sir.
Okay, thank you, Senator Menard.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. And along that note, when you're doing your talking points, when the Susitna is desperately in need of a place, a landing dock in the borough. So anything that all ties in with bringing these to fruition and getting it completed. So, you know, that, and again, that promotes, as they see how close it is to get back from the Point McKenzie to Anchorage. So that just helps the movement on the Kubota Bridge as well. But I have one more topic, and that is, in your view, how do you see the Anchorage International, I guess the Ted Stevens International Airport, being one of the top cargo airports in the world, say, as far as cargo tonnage? Mm-hmm. And what would you do to promote that?
Through the chair, Senator Menard, thank you for that. You know, I feel like I can speak about our airports with a little more level of expertise, and so I appreciate the opportunity. Ted Stevens, I believe, is in the top five in total gross weight landed in the world, and it's because of its strategic location between the Asian market, the Asian markets and the North American markets. It is a natural halfway point. And so the industry has figured out they can maximize their cargo load by using that airport. And really, what I would say is using Alaska as its halfway point to refuel. What we're doing right now to promote that is we had a very successful air cargo summit last August. We then sent both of our airport managers, John Parrott and Jesse Vander Zanden, with our consultant, Tom Phillips, to Asia in January. And what both of those events did was to not only stress the strategic location of Alaska, but also the fact that Alaska enjoys very liberal cargo transfer rights under the laws of cargo movement, and so that there are even more opportunities for these organizations to be more efficient at the way that they deliver those goods from where they're built into the North American markets. And in all 14 of the locations that they stopped in January, they received very positive response from those organizations on their desire to expand the business that they're doing here in Alaska. And so we will do a follow-up conference in this coming August, and that is probably the primary way that we are continuing to promote both Anchorage and Fairbanks International Airports.
Senator, follow up with Senator Menard.
One quick follow up. Yes, I had an opportunity this year to go to the Singapore cargo people, and the one issue that they felt was a stumbling block, and we can't do a whole lot about that, is our weather. You know, they bring the big cargo planes in, and then they have to defrost them, so the weather is truly an issue. Mm. But if we would build them a hangar, so to speak, that's heated, and so I just didn't know if you had gone down that path at all, but they were very serious in their reaching out to us that those were certainly something that prevents them from bringing and staying over, and then we could export back into Singapore, not only Singapore, but this would be good for other Asian countries as well, Taipei, and so.
Through the chair, I'll try not to go into too much detail, But what I would say is, you know, that is, I would call that a nice to have for them. The amount of revenue they generate by stopping in Alaska, I think, would far exceed the cost, number one, to build that. But more importantly, if they chose to go somewhere else because it was maybe a better climate, they would sacrifice considerable amount of the revenue generating capability that they have. Certainly, we have the capability to defrost, you know, and de-ice the aircraft, and that's really the I guess the most efficient method to do that right now. I think we have actually looked at a facility like that, but I don't know that it would really be the most efficient way to do it.
Just one more
follow-up. Okay, Senator.
Yeah, my biggest interest is what we export to them.
Mm.
And, you know, last year it was like $4 billion worth of goods. So that's very popular with Alaskans, not only what they're exporting this direction, but are importing, but what we can actually realize in dollars going over there. And that's another piece of this by accommodating this defrosting. Okay. Thank you.
Did you want to comment?
Through the chair, Senator Menard, I guess the thing that I would comment on is that most of those goods, most of those things that are shipped out, that are exported, happen in the summer and the fall when the weather's generally good.
Okay, thank you. So,
one quick one, but there are some new things that are coming online,
sure.
and there's more and more we're seeing that Asian want a presence with our companies, everything from aviation, and so it is seafood, obviously, is the greatest amount of that $4 billion, but thank you.
Thank you, Roger. Did you want to comment?
No, sir. Okay.
Senator Huggins.
Yeah, thank you, Mr. Chairman. This is a pre-coordinated tag team on you, Mr. Commissioner, because Senator Menard asked you about these big hangars, and I was supposed to say we got lots of room in Matsu to build big hangars for a cargo strip. So, pre-coordinated. So in any event, I say that a little tongue-in-cheek, but some of us think that'll happen, and Anchorage will be supporting it one of these days for lots of reasons. My first question, though, has to do with landing fees. Narita and some places like that have extraordinary landing fees. Is there room for us to adjust our landing fees without reducing our cargo load?
Through the chair, Senator Huggins, I think that's something we certainly negotiate with the airlines, and we just met with the Alaska Airline Advisory Committee earlier this week, and we were looking at next year's budget. And I think because we have such a huge volume of this, the large cargo traffic, and the fact that we are able to collect so much in fuel fee, you know, costs, it allows us to keep those other rates and fees fairly low. I don't know that it would it necessarily dissuade traffic if those went up some, but it would probably require some significant negotiations with the airlines.
Follow up, Mr. Chairman.
Yes, please.
Yeah. You know, we have a lot of, I'll use the term, stranded gas, and I think probably more people will agree with me about that today than they would have a couple of years ago. But by virtue of that, places like Flint Hills has a hard life. And they are, as I recall, our number one producer of aviation fuel. And as I further recall, we're now a net importer of aviation fuel. My question for you is, do you see scenarios where we can be self-sustaining aviation fuel-wise, or is this just going to get exacerbate itself over time?
Through the chair, Senator Huggins, I think, and I'll give you Mark Lucan's personal view, is I think it really is dependent upon, as I think most people recognize, getting more oil in the pipe. You know, that will allow Flint Hills to operate at a margin that they see will be competitive, you know, year round, and until until they can justify that, I think we will see continued imports of fuel.
Thank you very much, Mr. Chairman.
Thank you. Question, Senator Thomas.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. On that same line with Flint Hills, one of their biggest problems is they're burning oil to produce their product of jet fuel rather than burning natural gas or something. So that's a big issue, and that's one of those issues that spans the state, you know, the cost of energy. So you are the Department of Transportation, and most of the things you build use energy. So I think that I'm sure that you will be interested in taking a look at all aspects of that and how that impacts not only the airports and roads, but the rural areas and their development stuff too. So I just thought I'd add that because they could operate probably about 30% cheaper if they, in fact, were running on natural gas.
Well, through the chair, Senator Thomas, I'll just refer to this as another example of how we're working interdepartmentally with Commissioner Sullivan as he looks at how we might be able to, again, bring more oil into the pipeline and then obviously alternate other forms of energy to the market.
And my last comment,
sure,
if I may.
Senator Thomas.
Obviously, the folks from Great Bear, I don't know if you've had an opportunity to speak with them at all, but it looks like they're the folks that believe that there is a lot of oil shale at Prudhoe Bay, and that if their theory is correct, there will be a huge amount of oil easily accessible close to the pipeline and close to Pump Station 1 and the facilities that exist. But their situation is that they want the state to participate, I think, in building roads and infrastructure for them. So I think that the first thing that's going to come up with those folks, and we should be wanting to get them going quick so we can find out sooner than later that their theory is either great or that they're off base and it's not going to work. A two-year schedule is very aggressive, I think, anyhow, and so I was curious, in your limited experience with the Department of Transportation, how quickly you think that the idea of building some, a few roads at least, for them to get a couple of rigs out into the area where they need to be to further evaluate their situation, how quickly it would be possible to get permits for those regular roads, not ice roads, gravel roads, not ice roads at Prudhoe Bay.
Through the chair, Senator Thomas, I think one of the things that I have understood and we've mentioned before, but the thing that drives the ability to bring a project out quickly is the funding source. If it's funded by the federal government, then it's gonna take a long time. If it's funded by the state or potentially a private entity, then all of a sudden those timelines shrink considerably. And so I guess that would be my answer, is that if we can find that form of funding versus having to rely on federal funding to build a road, I think we could do it much more quickly.
State land, state leases, so we would anticipate that we avoid some of the federal requirements, but there will be federal requirements, I believe, regardless on some things that need to be done, even on state level.
Unfortunately, there's always the federal NEPA process that has to be part of it, but which process we use really is determined by the funding source.
Thank you.
Thank you. Senator Menard.
One last question, because I'm looking at this railroad here in front of me as part of, I know when we, the state-owned railroad that we have, which we all have grown to love so much, you have a seat on that board. That's always been the case. The commissioner of DOT has had a seat. So let's talk about the controversial area of real estate, because as we speak of roads, and I look to you to protect as citizens when the public want to purchase some roads that the railroad holds in real estate, millions and millions of dollars of real estate, we're all aware of that. And it's been very controversial, and even last year there was a House bill that said the railroad may, not shall, but may sell real estate. So, so far I know you're just new at being on that board, maybe just a few months, but could you share with us on that specific topic how how you've been able to weigh in as part of the board member that represents Rhodes for the state.
Through the chair, Senator Menard, how I would answer this is that the new chairman, Mr. Odneson, seems to be have a really reasonable approach to how they are dealing with that issue, and is willing to explore various options. And then from a board perspective, I think we have a very good relationship with him, and have encouraged him to do that.
Okay, excuse me, I'm confused. That Linda is the chairman of the railroad.
The board.
But then, okay, he's in charge of the real estate.
Through the chair, he is in charge of the railroad.
Oh, okay, I'm sorry.
The CEO.
Okay, right.
Yeah,
okay.
Sorry. I guess he maybe used the wrong term.
Question, Senator Uggins, yes, please.
Yeah, Senator Menard and I are one more questioning. But Senator Menard introduced the subject of landowners. And in the community of Willow, happened DOT is the major landowner. And the school sets on DOT land. Mm-hmm. The airport obviously sets on airport land to include the lake that has the amphibious. The community has a growing appetite to address the issue of how they can have, if nothing else, some control over pieces of that land. And I just would enjoy hearing from you how would you like to see that unfold as far as that conversation?
Through the chair, Senator Huggins, I think probably the way that I would really like to see that unfold is to ensure that that we provide safety to all the folks that are using that facility out there, whether it's the lake or the land surrounding the lake. But I think that's probably would be my key component in that discussion.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman.
Thank you. And I'm sure individuals will have time to meet with you later and ask those particular questions, but we do have another committee that we're conflicting with. So the job of this committee today is to recommend the appointment to be forward to a joint session for consideration. Is there a motion from a member of the committee?
I move to advance
a motion has been made to advance the name of Mark Lucan to the joint session for consideration. Is there an objection? Seeing none, then we will forward your name to the joint session for consideration. This does not reflect an intent by any member of the committee to vote for or against the confirmation of individual during any further sessions. Seeing that, we've done that, and we are adjourned. Thank you very much. And-